First, the air is getting crisp, the leaves are starting to change. Even though it's only September, fall is just a couple weeks away, and the cooler weather brings one of the best crops of the year.
On this week's Food Friday, we're talking about apples. Apples can be baked, they can be roasted, stewed, and a whole lot more. And our guest says they can shine in both sweet and savory recipes.
Amy Traverso joins us now. She's the food editor for Yankee Magazine and the author of The Apple Lover's Cookbook. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, now you wrote the cookbook. You got to be an apple lover yourself. What do you like about apples?
I love apples, and I thought I might get tired of them over the course of working on the book, and it's been several years, and I have not gotten the least bit tired of them. I love how incredibly diverse they are. I think for most people who go to a supermarket, you see that they sell lemons, you see they sell oranges, you see they sell strawberries, and then you see they sell Red Delicious, Granny Smith, Pink Lady. I think anybody who goes to a supermarket realizes that apples are varietal. In fact, all fruits are, but we're sort of more aware of apples, and each of them is so different. I mean, a Granny Smith tastes completely different from a Pink Lady, and they perform differently when you cook. So some of them hold up really well under heat. Some of them turn to applesauce really quickly. So I saw this opportunity to kind of help people figure out, all right, I'm at the farmer's market or I'm at the supermarket. What do I do with them? What goes best in a pie, and what do they taste like? And then when I got into the history of apples, how they came to this country, how they were so essential to early life here, it just became an obsession.
Right. Well, can you tell us about some of that early history of the apple in the United States?
Yeah. I mean, if you had asked me before I started this working on the book, where do apples come from? I would have said, well, I assume there are some that are native to North America, and then the pilgrims came and they started growing them and maybe breeding them. In fact, apples are native to Central Asia. They're native to a mountainous region kind of between China and Kazakhstan called the Tian Shan Mountain Range. And there are these wild fruit forests. So if you can imagine like the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, instead of being covered with maybe aspens, they're covered with wild apple trees, wild peach, wild, apricots. It's incredible. It's really the birthplace of a lot of the fruits that we know. And trade routes would go through these hills from Asia to Persia and Greece and Rome later. And travelers would pick them up. They were sweet. They were portable. And that's how the apple made its way. And then the apple kind of thrives. It's a very genetically diverse fruit. So it has genes that allow it to thrive in a lot of different climates where, you put it here, it'll figure out how to survive. So it did well in the Mediterranean. It did well in England, and ultimately was brought over, by the earliest Americans and planted here. And they figured out which ones did well here and then started breeding them like crazy.
Well, I think in the United States, if you think of the word fruit, an apple is probably the thing that pops into your head. And of course, American is apple pie. Why is the apple such an American fruit, given that it, came from elsewhere?
It's not native. Yeah, I think it's because it was such an essential ingredient in early American life. I mean, it was one of the few sources, if you can imagine, before sugar became widely available, it was one of the few sources of sweetness that you could plant and then harvest and store. I mean, there are apples that I can, even in my home refrigerator in the vegetable drawer, I can keep some apples going through February, if I store them well. So, and then on top of that, from apples, you could make cider, which was the primary alcoholic beverage, but not just alcoholic. In many places, cider was safer to drink than water. So children drank it, John Adams drank it every morning for breakfast. And then from cider, you could make whiskey. You could kind of concentrate the cider and make a more alcoholic product, which was an early form of anesthesia. You could make vinegar, and suddenly you had something to preserve the rest of your harvest. So it had so many uses and just really became intricately woven with early American life. And on top of that, when people were moving westward, the government, one way you could take title to a piece of land was if you planted an orchard. You had to kind of show that you were going to stick around for the government to give you the rights to the land. So apple orchards became an essential way to establish, the Ohio River Valley and that whole area. Johnny Appleseed was a real guy. I mean, he was out there, planting apple orchards. He's not a fictional character. And so for all these reasons, it just became part of America.
And here in Wisconsin, we're just sort of at the very beginning tendrils of apple season. It keeps going and gets better. But what do you think we can do at the very beginning of apple season?
So at the beginning of the season, you're seeing some of the sort of, you see Jersey Max, Macintosh apples. A lot of these apples, you see Golden Delicious, Ginger Gold. A lot of the apples that you see at the very beginning of the summer tend to be more tender apples. It's interesting. When I say tender, what I mean is they tend to cook down more quickly. They're not apples that I would necessarily want to use in a pie, but that would make delicious applesauce. Or if you were making pancakes, it doesn't matter, you know, because they're only cooking for 5 or 10 minutes. An exception, though, actually, a Golden Delicious apple, when it's fresh and firm, it will actually hold up quite well in a pie. It's this fall, it seems to be we've had some cooler weather all across the northern part of the country. Fall is sort of happening earlier this year. So some of the mid-season apples that many of us know and love, you know, Cortland's and Pink Lady and Honeycrisp, those are all going to be, it's not going to be long before they're ripe. I mean, I imagine some orchards probably already have them, and they'll be coming in droves. Another apple I love that you'll probably be seeing in your local orchards pretty soon is the Jonathan apple. I feel like it's sort of underrated. It sort of performs and tastes a lot like the Honeycrisp, but it tends to be a little bit less expensive, and it really makes a delicious pie, along with like the Northern Spy. And I was actually doing a little bit of research on apples that were bred in Wisconsin, and it seems like some of them are making a comeback. These are apples that date back to the 1800s. So if you go to your local orchard, look for, there are three that I found that I'm intrigued by. One is called Old Church. The other one is called, I think it's Hanko, H-A-N-K-O. This one dates back to Sauk County in 1862. And then there's a Milwaukee apple, which was first came to market in 1899, kind of disappeared, but it was grown in a few places, and now a bunch of growers are trying to bring it back.
We're talking to Amy Traverso on this Food Friday. She's the author of the Apple Lover's Cookbook. We are talking about cooking with apples. And Amy, we can get more into pie and crisp and the classics like that. You also work with apples in a lot of savory things. Talk about using apple in non-dessert items.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's a little bit of a mental barrier to cooking savory dishes with apples, but if you think about apples really as being as existing on a spectrum of sweetness to tartness, you know, Granny Smith is not especially sweet; it's quite tart, and you could use that in the similar preparation that you would say citrus. You know, I think we're all used to cooking with lemon. Say, there are apples that are just as almost as tart as lemons, not quite. They all have some sugar, but so I like to think of dishes, savory dishes. I think, well, if it's a really rich thing like a braised dish, braised pork, I might want a nice kind of sweet tart apple. A sweetness, really, pork plays really well with sweet flavors, but a little bit of acidity would kind of cut through the richness of the sauce. So instead of thinking apples, apple pie, dessert, I think, okay, well, what is an apple? What is the flavor of the apple? It's really, it's a certain amount of sweetness, a certain amount of acidity. There might be some other like spicy flavors or berry notes, depending on what variety. And then you can start, you know, cooking. I mean, really, any apple is going to be pretty good in a recipe, but I have recipes for an apple risotto, which is actually fantastic. It's like a white wine risotto that you add a little bit of apple just for a hint of sweetness, but a tart one so it's not too sweet, and some grated lemon zest and Parmesan. It goes really well. Even something as simple as an apple, as a grilled cheese sandwich with really good sharp cheddar and some mustard and apple slices is so great. And the apples just kind of cut through the richness of the cheese and just give you this full spectrum of flavors. And then you can do something, one of my favorite recipes is a pork and apple pie, which kind of has its roots in English pub food. I have a recipe that I just love, you know, where there's like a layer of sort of a pork, ground pork with some spices and a layer of apples all wrapped up in a cheddar and sage crust. It's just fantastic for brunch or for dinner. And then you can even, if you could just do salad, you know, just throw some apple slices into your salad with a little bit of feta or something, some walnuts or blue cheese, and you've got an amazing meal.
And let's talk about something that's a little more what we think of, not quite the apple pie, but apple crisp, which I have to be probably the number two most made apple desserts.
Number one in my house.
Number one in your house. Yeah, I love apple crisp. And it's a little easier to make than apple pie, especially if you're not cheating and buying store-bought pie crust. But tell us about apple crisp. What's your recipe for that one?
So I have two recipes. I grew up with an apple crisp that my grandmother made. She found it in a 1945 issue of Country Gentleman magazine, and I actually still have the original clipping that she took. And this one I love because it's very different from the usual kind of oat and brown sugar topping, which I also love, and I have that recipe too. This one has a topping. You might say it looks more like a cobbler. The texture is somewhere between like a cookie and a cake. It's nice and crunchy on top and very moist. And this is kind of my signature fall dessert. I always make it when company comes over because it always gets incredible raves. I just love this recipe so much. And it's very simple. It's just flour, baking powder, salt, sugar, and two eggs. And that's it for the topping. There's no milk, no liquid. And then you just drizzle some melted butter over the top and sprinkle it with cinnamon. And then, you know, for an oatmeal top dessert, I love like a really good hearty, like flour and oat and brown sugar, cinnamon, nutmeg, you know, all those good things, and maybe add some pecans if you like nuts. I mean, it's just such a perfect combination. It's the ultimate comfort food for many of us. It's something many of us grew up with as children, so it takes us back. And I think a lot of people who grow up with apples, they do kind of have that, I guess you could say, like a Proustian kind of memory component. I think that's one of the reasons, you know, it was fun when I wrote this book to go to book signings and talk to people and realize there are other people who had this kind of kooky emotional attachment to the fruit that I did. I thought I was alone, but I'm definitely not.
And by the way, we've got that recipe for Grandma Mary's Apple Crisp up right now on the Central Time Facebook page as we talk with Amy Traverso. She's the food editor for Yankee Magazine and the author of the Apple Lovers Cookbook with us here to talk about apples on this Food Friday.
Are you an apple lover? Join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite way to bake or cook with apples? Do you use apples in savory dishes? Do you have a secret to the perfect apple pie or crisp or cobbler or you name it? And you have questions about cooking with apples? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're continuing our conversation about how to cook with apples with Amy Traverso. She's the food editor for Yankee Magazine and the author of the Apple Lovers Cookbook.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite type of apple for cooking or baking or just eating? What are your favorite ways to cook or bake with apples? Do you like sweet apples or tart ones? Do you have questions for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also comment and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Amy, you've got a recipe you shared with us called overnight apple butter. Tell us about what that is and what apple butter itself is. I've seen it a lot in stores, but I've never tried it or made it myself.
I love this recipe. It is, so apple butter is basically applesauce that is reduced and caramelized over time. So it's slow-cooked applesauce that just gets this wonderful caramel flavor as the sugars, actually caramelize, and it gets much thicker. And really, it's one of those recipes where you can really cook it as long as you're on low heat. You can cook it as long as you want. I mean, people like specific instructions, but really the instruction here is cook until it reaches the texture you like, because it'll just continue to thicken and evaporate. But this is a recipe that I like to make in my slow cooker, and I put everything in at night. I let it come to a boil and then turn the heat down low, leave the top ajar, and go to bed. And when I wake up in the morning, the house smells like heaven. I like to say this is my secret real estate magic recipe, because if your house isn't selling and you're having an open house, make this apple butter the night before and your house will sell. It'll just smell so incredible. And it's just this wonderful treat to wake up to in the morning. It's really easy. I mean, you literally throw everything in there and walk away.
We had a caller who couldn't stay on the line, but they said they have a favorite Southern dish, fried apples and onions. And he said you cook it in butter. If you do it right, the onions get really sweet along with the apples. Yes. You've heard of this, Amy.
You know, I've had fried apples. I actually haven't had them with onion. But see, there's that inspired sweet savory pairing. I mean, they go so well together. Think of caramelized onion and think of that playing with the sweet, you know, caramelized apple. It's such, and it just gives you that rounded full spectrum of flavors. And, you know, apples with any kind of an onion, chives, you know, in savory dishes, it's such a good pairing. Shallots, really, really good.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Anne joining us right now in Madison. Anne, hi.
Hi. I love any kind of really tart apple in the fall. Half it and put half of it on a big pork chop and just bake a bunch of pork chops together. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apple and pork.
Apples and pork are perfect. They're just perfect together. They were really made for each other. There are so many things. I mean, you can bake the apples with the pork chops. It's really great. And then you get this wonderful pan sauce, and you could stir in a little bit of cream and mustard maybe to finish it off. Or you can just serve it as it is because it's really delicious. You can slice the apples and saute them and build a sauce from that, maybe a little bit of onion and maybe some creme fraiche or sour cream and pour that over your pork chops. There's so many things, so many ways they just pair beautifully. I also have a recipe for a stuffed pork loin with sort of an apple stuffing. It's fantastic.
And thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We go next to Mary in Lebanon. Mary, hi.
Hi. I have a recipe. It's called Mrs. Huntley's Apple Cobbler, and it was my uncle's mother, and it's well over 100 years old. That I know. It's probably more than 150.
Wow. The recipe, not the cobbler itself, is that old.
Yeah, the recipe, right. So I do like to make that, and then I think of my Uncle Roy and Aunt Mildred. So,
So there's that memory associate. Mary, thank you so much. Amy, so many people you say have that family memory of an apple recipe.
And I love hearing those stories. It just warms my heart, you know, and I know that when Mary makes that, when she makes that dish, you know, it brings back all these memories. It feels like fall has begun. I actually yesterday baked my first apple dish of the season. I'm always a little reluctant to let go of summer, but I made a dish called the Swedish apple pie. It's a little bit like a cobbler. It's a crustless pie that you has sort of almost like a cobbler base, and the apples are suspended in it. And even though I'm kind of gripping on to the last days of summer, you know, with all my strength, having that pie was actually a really nice way to transition into fall.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mary. And let's take another here. Jackie is joining us next in Hillsborough. Jackie, hello.
Hello. I love apples. We have a Wolf River apple tree in our yard. And if you're familiar with those apples, they can be as big as a man's hand. Mm. So it takes about 3 apples to make 1 pie, which is awesome.
Wow.
I'm not nice. Even kidding. They're amazing. And growing up, my mom would make a lot of applesauce. And what she did to flavor it differently and to thicken it was she would put Jell-O in there. Hmm. So when I make my applesauce, I fill a crock pot full of apples and dump in maybe like a half a bag of cranberries and then a box or 2 of cranberry Jell-O. When you grind it all up, it tastes like cranberry applesauce, and it is delicious. So you can do
that
any flavor.
Incredible.
Interesting, Jackie. So adding Jell-O to the mix, also some cranberries. What do you think about mixing it up with those 2 ingredients, Amy?
I think that's terrific. I have never done that, and I really want to try it now. I think it would give it a really silky mouthfeel, like a really lovely kind of creamy texture, which I bet is really delicious. And the Wolf River apple is native to Wisconsin, so that's and it is a fantastic pie apple. I would be totally game to try that. One thing I also like to do with apple pies, in terms of like sauces, is I grew up actually with a grandmother, my other grandmother, who made her pies with Macintosh apples. She loved the flavor of Macintosh, but what you would get was, and the pies were delicious, but they were very mushy because they just don't hold up to 45 minutes of cooking. But what I do, but the flavors, you know, Macintosh are delicious apples. So what I like to do now is maybe combine, you know, if I'm going to cook with, make a pie with, say, 10 standard apples, I might do 4 that are max and 5 and 6 that are, you know, another apple variety that are more, that hold up better, maybe a Northern Spy or something like that, Honeycrisp. And so what you get is sort of apple slices suspended in a nice sauce. And that, so it's fun to kind of play with the textures. You don't have to go one way or the other.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Amy, as we wrap up, I got to ask, you've tried a lot of kinds of apples, obviously. Is there a holy grail, an apple you've heard of but haven't encountered in person yet that you really want to try and eat or cook with?
Oh, you know, for me right now, the holy grail is to go to Kazakhstan, which is the birthplace of apples. In fact, there's a wonderful cafe in my neighborhood, and the owner is from Kazakhstan, and she has told me stories of these forests that she grew up picking apples in. So I would love to go there, and there are so many French and Italian and British apple varieties that we don't get here. I would just love to go and spend one fall of my life doing an apple tour from, you know, the Northern Europe down south, for even Sweden. I would just love to do that. So for me, it's kind of about traveling to apple regions in the country. But what I'm so excited about, and I think I know this is true in Wisconsin as well, is more and more apple growers are pulling out rows of more familiar, maybe Red Delicious apples, and putting in these heirlooms. So we all have more and more access to hundreds of varieties of apple, and that's really exciting.
We'll leave it there. Amy, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with your apple tourism plans.
Thank you.
That's Amy Traverso, food editor for Yankee Magazine, author of The Apple Lover's Cookbook. She joined us to talk about some of her favorite ways to cook and bake with apples. Are you going to get out apple picking this year?
I hope so. I don't think we made it last year.
No,
we definitely
neither.
Ate a lot of apples,
right.
Bought a lot of interesting varieties of apples, but the picking, not so much.
Yeah, I got to get out to an orchard. You can still share your favorites and check out more over at the Central Time Facebook page.